One of the most interesting films that I've watched recently, well, quite a few years ago now, I think, but one of the ones that still interests me a lot is Sliding Doors. And I don't know if you've seen it, Gwyneth Paltrow's the main lead in it. And the intriguing question that the film raises is this: how different would our lives be if those little coincidences or those little life events didn't take place or happened differently? The storyline is centered on this young woman called Helen, who's catching an underground train, and she sees one standing at the station and hurries to catch it, but just as she's about to catch it, she trips over a child and she doesn't make it, and so the train leaves without her. Then the film rewinds, and you see Helen again, this time neatly sidestepping the child and making the train. And she's in the train, the sliding door's shut, and she goes off. And the rest of the film goes in parallel between Helen who caught the train and Helen who didn't. And her life goes in very different directions, depending just this one thing, this one life coincidence. Did she get the train or didn't she? And the outcome is very different indeed. And it's fascinating, because you can't help wondering whether all our lives are just made up of these little things that happen to us, these little things that just take place in our lives. I did or didn't catch that train. I went to that party or didn't go to that party and met so-and-so or didn't meet so-and-so. My parents chose this school rather than that school. Is life just something which happens to us, which we just get caught up in the swirl of activity and things, and we're just victims? No, says Proverbs, that's not the case. Life is shaped by the choices we make. We make choices in our lives, and that shapes who we are and how we react to the events that happen. Sure, things do happen to us. Of course they do. But by making the right choices in life, says Proverbs, we'll be the kind of people who will know how to react in any situation that life throws up to us. And Proverbs tells us to concentrate on being a certain type of person so that whether, if you like, the sliding doors are closed or open, we'll know how to live and how to react. And so Proverbs is a wonderfully practical book. It takes the lid off how life really works, how things actually are. It holds up a mirror to where we're prone to be most stupid in our lives. Because many, many of us, human beings, as fallen human beings, are prone to press that self-destruct button and to make stupid decisions. And for each one of us, there may be a different area where we're prone to be foolish. Maybe the use of our money. Maybe wrong sexual relationships. In how we pick our friends. Being lazy in some area of our lives. All potentially destructive. And what we need, says Proverbs, is wisdom. Look at chapter 1 and verse 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, for attaining wisdom and discipline, for understanding words of insight. And that first verse there, the Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, is probably really just an introduction to the whole book and serves as an introduction for quite a few verses. Because in fact, the Proverbs that are attributed to Solomon don't start till chapter 10. So it's probably just an introduction all the way up there to Solomon's Proverbs in chapter 10. And the main purpose of the book for the reader is to gain wisdom and discipline. Look again at the first phrase of verse 2. For attaining wisdom and discipline. And where do you go for wisdom? The first place, look at verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And in Proverbs, knowledge and wisdom are the same word, really, knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and discipline. The first step in knowledge and wisdom is a relationship, a living, worshipping relationship with the Lord. And the reason why the practical teaching and advice of Proverbs actually works and makes sense is because it's God's world. And so the practical teaching and advice of Proverbs is profound. The very fact is that the one who made the world asks us to be in a relationship with him. It's the Lord's world. He's revealed himself as the Lord, the God who is there. So we live in a universe with cause and effect, created by a creator. Choices have consequences. That's the way the world's made. And it's wisdom, through having a worshipping relationship with the creator, that enables the wise to see the consequences of their actions, and also to live their lives in the constant gaze of the one who is there, the creator. It's the foolish who don't see that God is there, who don't see or care about the consequences of their actions. That's the fool in Proverbs. It's not somebody who's particularly stupid in IQ sense, somebody who's not clever, but somebody who's not in a relationship with God, who can't see that it's God's world, and either doesn't care or doesn't understand the consequences of their actions. So, yes, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, and it's the fool who despises wisdom and discipline. Discipline's a hard word, isn't it? It sounds a very harsh word. It reminds me of my boarding school days with cold showers and somewhat pointless punishments, really. Discipline. But in fact, in Proverbs, it's the restraint needed in God's world of cause and effect to stop and to think, what are the consequences of my actions? It's the restraint needed not to live life on impulse. Discipline enables somebody to not just live with the first thought that comes into their head or the first emotion that comes into their heart and lives. It enables a person to stop and think ahead. Where will this lead? You see, Proverbs doesn't say don't get involved with wrong sexual relationships because they aren't pleasurable. No, because in the short term, they may be, and people wouldn't do it if they weren't. No, what Proverbs says is don't get entangled because of the consequences, the ruined lives, the hurt, the disgrace, and ultimately having to give an account to the one who's there, God. And of course, Proverbs also says, dishonest gain, it may work in the short term, but the consequences of a troubled conscience and one day having to give an account to the God who's there, that is what the wise would see and understand. Hateful words, in the short term, hateful words may be very satisfying, says Proverbs. You may feel so good having said something to pay somebody back, but it poisons the heart. That's the consequence. And one day, you'll have to give an account to the God who's there. My family quite enjoy watching Friends. And one of the reasons that Friends is so funny is because the main characters live on impulse. That's what they do. Their words, their decisions, their relationships are usually based on the first thing that comes into their heads. And so, of course, disaster ensues. And it's very funny on TV. But in real life, it's disastrous. But impulse living is just so much part of our culture. What's that Nike advert? Just do it. Just do it. So many people live by just do it. But the consequences of misery and ruin that comes from that, just do it. Impulse living in God's world leads to disaster. Just being led by the first thought, the first emotion or idea that comes into our lives leads to ruin. Here's an example. Verse 10. My son, if sinners entice you, do not give in to them. If they say, come along with us, let's lie in wait for someone's blood. Let's waylay some harmless soul. Do you see, it's a great idea. Come, join the gang. We can get easy money. Look at verse 13. We'll get all sorts of valuable things and fill our houses with plunder. Do you notice in verse 12, the idea that nobody will notice. Let's swallow them alive like the grave and whole like those who go down to the pit. They'll just disappear. Nobody will see. Nobody's watching. It'll be easy. Just happen. Great benefits for us. A quick route to gain. But then here comes wisdom, verse 15. My son, do not go along with them. Do not set foot in their paths, for their feet rush into sin. They are swift to shed blood. Where is it leading? Where's it going? There's a hint here that in fact things may get out of hand. There'll be a momentum to this bad choice. Their feet rush into sin. They're swift to shed blood. Maybe it's going to go further than they want. You're going to be on the spiral down. And verse 17, how useless to spread a net in full view of all the birds. You think that your trap is not seen by anybody? Who is watching? The God who is there. The one who you think is not watching. Oh yes, he sees, because it's his world. So if you don't think he's there, you could do many foolish things, thinking it's hidden. And in the end, they're their own victim, either in this life or when they have to face the Lord. Look at verse 18. These men lie in wait for their own blood. They waylay only themselves, such in the end of all who go after ill-gotten gain. It takes away the lives of those who get it. And there may be a hint there that it's not just in the life to come, but also in this life that they have to live the life of a fugitive, of someone with a conscience, somebody whose life is now branded even within their own hearts as somebody who's done this terrible, violent mugging that's proposed here by this gang. Gaining wisdom is what helps someone stop, think, and ask, where is it going? And the Lord is watching. Now, you and I may not be prone to be tempted by violent mugging. It may not be something that you and I are going to go out and think that, oh yes, that's something I was thinking of doing this afternoon anyway. But the obvious question for all of us, as Proverbs opens up, and as this chapter opens up for us, which the author intends us to ask, is, where is it in our lives where we're prone to foolish living? In what area of our lives are we prone to live without wisdom? Where is it that we're trying to live out of the gaze of the Lord who is there and not thinking about the consequences of our actions in this cause and effect universe? Whatever area of life it is, there'll be a proverb for it. There will. And it'll tell you something of the consequences of where it'll all lead. Are you careless in some area of your life? Maybe you're successful at work, but you're rather lazy at home. Are you in a dangerous relationship? Are you embroiled in some bitterness over someone or something? Are you engaged in some dishonesty? Do you slip all too easily into lies and untruth? Maybe you're careless about your own rest. Do you struggle with money? Where is it all going to lead you? Knowing where you're prone to foolish living, just think, where is it going to lead? What does the God who is there, who's watching, think? When he gazes upon that foolishness, what is he thinking? Because we can't hide. Do you have the wisdom to stand back, take stock, and see how life really works? And to see that the God who is there gazing upon you. Our wise living starts with our relationship with him. And over the next 3 weeks, we're going to apply God's wisdom to our lives from Proverbs. But the first step is here, to be aware of where we particularly need his wisdom in our living. Where we may be living foolishly, where we may be living or trying to live out of his gaze, because that's the good life, living the wise life, looking at the consequences and knowing that the God who is there gazes upon us. And our prayer, all our prayer, is that we'd live wise lives, and the wisdom of Proverbs opens up what wise living is all about. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, in a world, in your world, where choices matter, where our choices matter, we pray for your wisdom, that knowing that your gaze is upon our lives, and knowing that you've given us the ability to be disciplined and to say no, to think ahead, to plan for good outcomes to our decisions. We pray for that wisdom for each one of us. May we live in the fear of the Lord who's there. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.